Scene 7 of The Soul's Awakening. A temple somewhat in Egyptian style, the place of an initiation in the far distant past, the third cultural epoch of the earth. In order to identify each person with his or her later incarnation, the modern name is added in parenthesis. At first only a conversation between the Hierophant, the temple warden, and the mystic. Hierophant, Capacius. Are all the preparations duly made, my temple warden, in order that our holy rite may serve both gods and men? Temple warden, Felix. As far as human forethought can provide, they have been well prepared. The sacred incense has filled the temple now for many days. Hierophant. My mystic, since this priest who will receive today the solemn rites of sacred wisdom is to become the counselor of the king, have you, by testing him, assured yourself that he is not entirely given to wisdom, which, neglecting earthly cares, lets his attention hang on spirit teaching? For such a counselor would do us harm. The mystic, Felicia. The tests were given as the law requires. The masters found them adequate. I think our mystic has but little inclination toward earthly cares. His soul is set upon his spirit progress, the unfolding of his self. He often has been seen in spirit trance. It's not too much to say he revels in the union of the spirit with his soul. Hierophant. Has he been often seen in such a state? The mystic. In truth, he often shows himself like this. He might be better suited to the service of the temple than to be your counselor. Hierophant. It is enough. Now go about your duty. See that our holy rite is well performed. Exit the mystic. To you, my temple warden, I have more to say. You know how much I prize your mystic gifts. To me you stand much higher in your wisdom than well befits your grade within the temple. How often have I taken recourse to your seership to prove this spirit sight of mine? And so I ask, what confidence you have in this new mystic's spirit ripeness? Temple Warden. Why, ask for my opinion. My voice is never counted. Hierophant. For me, it always counts. Today you shall once more stand by my side. We must together watch this holy rite with probing eyes of soul. And should the mystic show in smallest measure his unripeness in spirit for the lofty meaning of our rites, I shall refuse him rank as counselor. Temple Warden. What could it be that might reveal itself about this mystic at our holy rite? Hierophant. I know he is not worthy of the honor the temple servants seek to give to him. His human nature is well known to me. His mystic aims have not that heartfelt urge which stirs in men when light from spirit realms draws souls in grace up to itself. Strong passion surges still throughout his being. The cravings of his senses are not curbed. I do not indeed condemn the will of gods, which wisely also radiates its light upon desire and passion in the stream of being. But when the sensuous urge conceals itself and revels mystically in veneration's mask, it causes thought to lie, perverts the will. The light that weaves the web of spirit worlds can never penetrate into such souls, where passion spreads a mystic fog between. Temple Warden. My Hierophant, your judgment is severe in dealing with a man who still is young and inexperienced, who cannot know himself, nor take another course than that which priestly guides and mystic leaders say will reach the soul's true goal. Hierophant. I do not judge the man. I judge the deed that will be wrought within this temple's solemn place. The holy mystic ritual we perform is of significance not only for us here. Through word and deed of sacred priestly rites, there pours the fateful stream of world events. What forms itself in symbols here will come to everlasting life in spirit worlds. But now, good warden, go about your task. You will yourself discover how best to help me in the holy rite. Exit the temple warden. It will not be the fault of the young mystic who dedicates himself today to wisdom if, in the hours to come, a wrong emotion, proceeding heedlessly out of his heart, should throw its rays upon our sacred rites and rise as image up to spirit spheres. For from these spheres, in consequence, will flow destructive forces into human life. The guides and leaders are the guilty ones. Do they still recognize the mystic force which penetrates mysteriously with spirit each word and gesture here within the temple? And still this force will work when even elements of soul pour into it which are injurious to world becoming. If only this young mystic consciously would sacrifice himself unto the spirit. Instead his teachers drag him like a victim into the holy place. Here, all unconscious, his soul is yielded up unto the spirit, whereas he would indeed find other paths if he could consciously sustain it in himself. Within the circle of this temple's priesthood, the highest hierophant alone knows clearly the meaning of the ritual's mystic truths, but he is mute as solitude itself. Such silence his high dignity commands. The others gaze uncomprehendingly when of the ritual's true intent I speak. I am alone, therefore, with lonely care, which often weighs oppressively upon my heart because I feel the import of this shrine. Indeed, I've come to know in deepest measure the solitude of this stern spirit shrine. Why am I all alone here at this place? The soul must question, but the spirit, when will it give the answer to my soul? Curtain, end of scene 7.